From the United America Network, this is Varsity Vibes, your roundup of prep sports action and the voices from prep athletics all across Riverside County with Luke Lamont. Now, here's Luke.
We got two great games to recap this week, as well as a special guest interview with one of the reigning CIF champions of the Southern Section, the head coach of Murrieta Mesa, Oscar McBride. Murrieta Valley won a massive game versus Chaparral on Friday, skating past the Pumas 56-42 after a late 41-yard touchdown run by running back Jeremiah Watson, who scored the team's final three touchdowns, which accounted for only half of his six touchdown night that tallied 247 yards. When a running back is going for 8.8 yards per carry, you're going to have a long night on defense. And the Nighthawks had a game plan and stuck to it, only passing 9 times throughout the night, which worked out well. When there's no need to pass because if your run game is so good, why risk throwing the ball? The team overall gained 425 yards and 7 touchdowns rushing. Just absolute ground and pound, smash mouth football for a great homecoming win and route to now a 6-1 record for the Nighthawks and 2-0 in the Big West Upper League to extend their win streak to 5 in a row. The league is stacked full of elite teams, plenty to look forward to as next week Murrieta Valley and Corona Centennial will meet for a game that will likely decide the winner of the Big West Upper. Huskies were the only team to beat the Nighthawks in league play last year and look to do the same in 2025 and capture yet another league title. Sticking in Murrieta, the Rams of Murrieta Mesa continue their quest for a repeat of CIF titles after capturing their first last season. The team won their game against Great Oak 42-21, putting up 21 unanswered after the game was deadlocked at 21 with 9 minutes left in the game. The defense of the Rams stole 2 interceptions, including 1 back for 6 in the fourth quarter alone. The downfall of the Wolfpack came when they fumbled just after forcing a turnover in their own red zone. After that, the Rams took over with 2 rushing touchdowns from running back Daniel Ritchie, and Murrieta Mesa improved to 2-0 in league play and above 500 on the season with a 4-3 record. Rams look ahead to repeat as league champions and their next week game against Corona. This week's special guest is none other than the head coach of the Murrieta Mesa Rams, Coach Oscar McBride. We had the pleasure of talking with him earlier in this week before Friday's contest. Please enjoy the first ever special guest segment on Varsity Vibes. So, Coach, it's fantastic to have you. Thank you for coming onto the show, you know, especially being our first guest. It means a whole bunch. I want to say thank you to you, especially
first off. Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate the opportunity. Of course.
Of course. So, you know, you played at Notre Dame. You played tight end. You also played a season with the Arizona Cardinals as well. So you have a lot of high experience in coaching. You know, you've had a lot of high experience at the high level of football. A lot of time spent there. You know, you were under Lou Holtz at Notre Dame. You know, going to Murrieta Mesa and coming down to the high school level, it's obviously different from those collegiate teams and those professional teams. How do you feel like going to those levels and seeing what builds those teams, especially, you know, being on a team as good as Notre Dame was, is like, how do you take the information you've learned and how do you feel you've applied it to yourself as a coach, especially with these young kids who are aspiring to get to those levels that you know how to reach because you've done it?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I think the biggest thing is I don't want to try to give them too much information, right? Sometimes less is more. The biggest thing for me is making sure they understand what our standard is. You have to communicate succinctly. I can't be upset at a kid for doing something if I haven't clearly explained what his job is, what his expectation is, what his responsibilities are, or what his responsibility is to the team. And that was one of the things I learned, you know, playing at Notre Dame. And it was kind of weird, you know, coming from where I'm from, a little tiny town in North Central Florida with 3 stoplights to, you know, to Notre Dame, the number one team in the country at the time. You know, every little detail, you know, where you stepped, where you put your head, where were your eyes, where were your hands? And I'm like, what's going on? Because, you know, my blocking assignment was in high school was like, get him. You know, that was what I was taught. So, you know, learning how to play fundamentally sound football, And having, you know, Joe, the late, great Joe Moore, as my offensive line coach, that has now an award named after him for the best college line in the country that was founded by my former roommate, Aaron Taylor, and teammate Aaron Taylor. Having Skip Holtz as my receivers tight end coach, who's won, I think, 3 UFL championships and like a coach of the years in the last 4 years in Birmingham. And then you had so many guys who went on, like Coach Jay Hayes coached outside linebackers. He's now coaching the D line for Arkansas. He just took that job last week. So the type of coaching we received, was high level coaching, and those coaches did a great job of teaching. And I think sometimes as a collective, you know, coaches, we have an idea of what we want to do, right? And we generally know what it's going to take. It's just about communicating it in such a way that your players understand it and it's something that they can grasp. I try to use word pictures with my guys. I try to use examples that they can understand and relate to, which kind of speaks to our philosophy of, we're a relational team. You know, our foundational principles are trust, love, and commitment, which, you know, Coach Holtz's was love, trust, commitment. But I like acronyms. Instead of LTC, it's TLC. A little TLC goes a long way. But in those three things, you know, trust, love, and commitment, those are the three foundational principles of relationships. You know, there's no relationship without trust. And trust leads to, you know, the commitment and the love and those types of things. Even today, 30 some years later, all those guys that play with Notre Dame are brothers. We're tight. There's like 12 or I'm on 2 group chats. One has about 9 of us and one has like 40 of us. And those chats happen every single day. Whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's somebody just had a brand new grandson, whether it's, you know, one of my teammates, Jeff Burris, who's an All-American and first round draft pick to the Buffalo Bills, is now coaching DBs for the Giants. Like, hey, great win. You know, like it's still a family. And when you're coming into a program which fractured, the best thing, at least from my opinion and my experience, is try to galvanize that family. Bring that family together. We break every day, you know, it's always family, you know, as we get into league, you know, it's champs, but every single day, whether it's weight room, you know, whether it's a meeting, you know, whether we're on the field, whether we're, you know, breaking to go to a different segment of practice, it's always family on 3. And I want them to understand that and experience that, because if I'm playing for and with my family, it's a little bit different than just playing with this guy I have class with or this guy that I know, you know? So I don't know. It's a lot to learn, a lot to take in. But if you don't have that buy-in, if you don't have that relationship with players as a coach, you're missing the mark. If I have a relationship with you, Luke, I can coach you harder, right? I can expect more from you. I can demand more from you. Versus me just showing up and yelling at you and getting mad at you when you don't do what I ask. You know, let me find out about you. Well, you know, does he have siblings? What's his family situation? You know, let me look. What's his grades like? You know, okay, well, how can I best support this person to become the best player he can be? That's what I learned. You know, Coach Holtz is great about that. Maybe not so much when we're in college, but he's the reason I'm the head coach of Mesa. I called him. I got his take. You know, he gave me his take. I called Skip. I got Skip's take. And they were both of the mindset that I needed to take this job. And, you know, here I am. So those relationships stay intact for a long time if they're created the right way. So I would say the biggest thing is don't worry about how much you know until you have a relationship with those players, because if you have a relationship with them, then they want to hear what you have to say, right? Then it's not like the barking dog syndrome where you're just talking and they're like, yeah, okay, coach, yeah, okay, yeah, oh, yeah, family. Like, no, it's like all eyes are on me when I talk, you know, and, you know, reading their nonverbals, you know, there's heads nodding, you know, like guys are in agreement. We're all in unison. We're together. We're family. So that's the first thing. You know, get the buy-in from your players, create the type of culture where it's a family type environment. And don't, you know, misunderstand what I'm saying. Like, family doesn't always get along. And I tell them, like, you know, probably some of your worst fights are probably against siblings. Like, you know, your siblings piss you off, you know, you want to come to blows. But on the flip side of that, if somebody else tries to punch my brother, now we got a problem. So, yeah, I would say, you know, yeah, a lot to learn. Yeah, my experience is a part of it. But the thing that I probably learned and lean on the most is the importance of family and relationship.
Yeah, I mean, obviously family is important in football. I remember, you know, in high school, that was, you know, driven home is you got to have a relationship with your players in order to be able to coach them properly. Like you said, you can't just go out screaming at people. They're not going to take to that too kindly. It's not going to end up being a good relationship for you, you know?
Exactly.
I totally understand what you're saying with that. And, you know, I wanted to talk about, you know, last year you won the championship, but I'll actually circle back around to that if we want to jump to the fact of like why you coach. And I think you kind of got into that with, you know, you do it to teach these kids about relationships, about family, about character and all these sorts of things. So I like, and you called Lou Holtz and Skip Holtz about if you should take this job.
Right.
I just wanted to know if you could talk a little bit more, like, why is it that you want to coach these kids? What drives you to show up every single day to that field on practice and to bring these kids together? Because they're at such an age where they're impressionable. They're high schoolers are extremely impressionable. Mm-hmm. So the leaders and, you know, people they can look up to are so important at this time. Why is that important to you to be one of those people?
Phenomenal question, Luke. For me, my high school head coach changed my life. I was 15 years old. I was a varsity starter. As I said, you know, before we started, I'm from North Central Florida, a little town called Chiefland. This is the fall of 1989. It was hot, really hot. And at the time I was playing, I might have been playing offensive tackle, maybe playing tight end, but we had a 7-man sled. And I had a coach named Scott Pritchett. And Coach Pritchett, I think he was a D2 linebacker, really, you know, jack kind of guy. You know, he had the scowl that I have that, you know, people's like, why are you mad? Like, no, that's just normally how I look. But he always had this kind of this look. He had this big Yosemite Sam thick mustache, right? And he always kind of look at you, you know, like Festus from Gunsmoke, which you'll have to look that reference up later. But if you have viewers that are my age and listeners my age, they'll know, they'll get the reference. So we're at the end of every practice, after we run somewhere between 20 and 40 wind sprints, the offensive line and tight ends had to drive the 7-man sled down 100 yards and drive it back. As I said, this day was particularly hot and I was tired and, you know, I'm a sophomore and I'm a returning starter on varsity. And, you know, I say to Coach Pritchett, you know, hey, coach, you know, I think I speak for everybody when I say we've had enough for today. You know, me and all of my 15-year-old boys, right? My buddies didn't move. You know, they're in front of the sled. Nobody moved. It's just me talking to Coach Pritchett. You know, everybody else is locked in on the sled, right? They don't budge. And Coach Pritchett says, well, Mac, you got two choices. You can get out and finish. You can get off the field. So I'm like, well, I'm not a quitter, right? So go through the drive, you know, and he'd be on the back of the sled, drive, drive. I could hear it in my sleep, drive, 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 you know. So we get in the locker room, and I'm ticked off. You know, throwing my helmet against the locker, taking my cleats off, throwing my cleats in my locker. Coach Pritchett said, hey, Mac. Can I talk to you? And I'm like, oh, you want to talk to me? Yeah, I got some stuff on my mind. I got stuff I want to say, right? So I go into his office, man, and I'm just ready. You know, I'm 15. I got it all lined up, everything I want to say. And he says to me, he said, look, he says, we can come in this office and close the door. I can kick your butt. You can kick mine. Don't ever put me on the spot in front of the team. Don't ever disrespect this game. Don't ever disrespect your teammates. You have more talent in your pinky than any of these guys. And he named schools that would later go on to recruit me. I'm a sophomore. So recruiting is a bit different back then. There was no eighth graders and freshmen and sophomores getting offers. And, you know, an offer was a letter. You know, you got letters. I hadn't gotten any letters yet, but he named Notre Dame. He named Michigan. He named Georgia. He named Florida, Florida State, Alabama. All those schools later went on to recruit me. And he said, until you change your mindset, you're going to get what you get. And what you're getting right now is out of my damn office. He kicks me off the team. Gut punch, right? Freaking out. Like, golly, my thing was, God, what am I going to tell my mom? You know, it's the first thing I thought, what am I going to tell my mom? Because it's like, there was a time when moms and dads and coaches were all on the same page with trying to help kids get to that next level. And somehow along the way, it's become an us versus them kind of thing, which is actually kind of sad. Well, needless to say, I didn't tell my mom because I didn't want to deal with that. So I came back the next day. I'm like, hey, coach, can I talk to you? He's like, yeah, Matt, come on in. I was like, hey, coach, I'm sorry, man. I want to play for you. I want to play for the team. You know, I was tired. I was hot. I know I spoke out of turn. I'm really sorry. So he said, okay. He's all right. Well, I need you to type me a letter of apology. Now, this is long before, I mean, you're a young guy, man. This is long before laptops and word processors and those types of things. This was, you know, good old typewriter with correction tape, tick, 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 ting. You know, I'm typing this thing, right? And I think I had to sit out a half of a game. Coach Pritchett later went on to a rival high school. So fast forward to my rookie year in the pros. I'm married. Come home on a bye week. Just happens to be a home game. And we just happen to be playing Coach Pritchett's team. I have my daughter. You know, I'm a proud dad, right? I'm like, oh, is that Coach Pridge? I gotta see Coach Pridge. So I take my daughter. I walk from the home side around to the visitor side. You know, he was an O-line guy. So he's coaching the O-line. He's still got the Yosemite Sam mustache, and he's got the eyebrow and the scowl. And, you know, I'm just kind of standing there watching him. I kind of got my daughter right here sitting, you know, leaning against my chest, and I'm bouncing her. And I didn't say anything. I didn't want to interrupt him. But he looked over and he saw me. And for the first time, me knowing him, that scowl, that raised eyebrow, that, you know, that evil eye that we used to call it, softened. And he just looked at me and he nodded. And I looked at him while I'm bouncing my daughter. I looked down at her. I looked back up at him. And I nodded back. No words exchanged. No hug. No greeting. Just an understanding that, hey, coach, thank you. Because I'm playing on Sundays. I'm a father and a husband because of what you did for me. So as much as Coach Holtz was the guy I called about whether or not I should take this job or not, that foundational principle was set by my high school coach. And I think for me, my why is I want to be a Scott Pritchett for somebody. You know, if I can help these kids put together some form of decent character and understanding of who they are as young men, and that they're more than just football. You know, football is what you do. Football is not who you are. We're very deliberate and intentional about who we put in front of our players. I've got 22 coaches on my staff, 23 including myself, from freshman to varsity. All of them are married with kids except three. Two freshman coaches and one varsity coach. Because I want that behavior model. I want them to see coaches with their kids. Invite your kids to practice. You know, I want them to see them with their wives after the game. You know, I want them to be invited to the homes of their coaches for dinner and see how they interact with their wives and their children, because, you know, young people emulate what they see modeled for them. So I would say my why is, and before I close with that, I would say I wouldn't want to coach at the collegiate level, because there's a lot of coaches out there who coach just to win games. And that character piece, you know, that trust, love, commitment piece, it's never taught to the kids. So, you know, you have kids, you know, coming into college, not going to class, getting in trouble, having issues, being disrespectful. You know, we're transferring when we don't start instead of fighting for a position and working through it. All of those things are things that we teach here at Mesa. You know, like, we talk about loyalty. We talk about family. We talk about trust and relationships and what that looks like. You know, and everybody throws the word accountability out. Like, I don't, accountability, expectations, and rules are three words we don't usually use, right? I tell them to be responsible, because if you're responsible, I don't have to hold you accountable, right? And, you know, we're really deliberate about what we say to them and how we say it to them, and giving them the meaning. You know, we talked about a little bit earlier about details. Like, those are the details. Yeah, I can go get a homeless person and teach them our offense and defense and special teams and have them coach you. But it takes a special coach to actually teach them about life. Football is just a vehicle, dude. It's just a vehicle. So, you know, my why is to be able to pay that forward. And hopefully the kids who leave Mesa, whether they go on and play football or, you know, we've got a nice military population here. We've had 6 or 7 guys go into the military in the last couple of years. My hope is that they become productive members of society. You know, not just a number, not just a Social Security number or, you know, a taxpayer, but someone has something genuinely to contribute. So that's my why.
I think all those things like that you mentioned, of it's important to teach them all this, because football is just a vehicle, like you said. You know,
it's finite just, time, man. It's a finite time.
Yeah. You know? And, you know, I mean, you're talking about how the lessons your coach gave you, I mean, you're not a player anymore. Now you've moved into a coaching role, and you know, it's so important to learn these things from those coaches and really appreciate. And I hope the kids that you are coaching right now really take that to heart, everything that you're saying, because
it is
a good message of how football can prepare you for life. You know,
yeah, I mean, 100%.
There's so much more to life than just buckling up that chin strap and going between those white lines and playing. You know, there's so much more to it.
No
and
doubt.
I think that's great that you're building that kind of culture and program at Marietta Mason. It is working out on the field as well for you guys. I mean, you know, you have that family and commitment together, and you know, you won the school's first and only CIF championship last year. And you know, I'm sure for you that was a great moment to have that success on the field, but I'm sure it was also great to know what you had taught all those kids along on that journey.
Yeah.
So I was just wondering, you know, comparing the two, like, it's hard, I feel like, to go from a championship to then in that next year. Sometimes teams get caught up on that. Oh, we're champions. You know, we can run the show. It doesn't matter anymore. So how do you get these kids, you know, sort of back down to earth and off cloud nine from the mountaintop that they were on, especially with some new kids having to step up, and they have to be the leaders on that team now. You know, I've seen that you guys have had a couple of quarterbacks play throughout the season so far, and you got new running backs who are leading and carries in that for you. So in terms of going from a championship win and going into that next year, how do you build that team back up to get to the same spot, but also to realize that, look, that was great, but that's just one day. That was one game, and you know, you got more to football and more to life moving on in this next year and further forward.
I got to tell you, another great question, Luke. This year was the hardest year of my life. To try to explain to a 15 to 18 year old kid that now you're a champion. Now you have to work harder. It's just so counterintuitive,
oh,
man.
Oh, sure.
There's like a football bat. It doesn't exist, right? So it was really difficult. But what I can tell you is consistency won. You know, it was hard at times. You know, guys don't want to work out. It's off season. And the guys are, oh, I'm hurt. Like, well, how did you get hurt? We're not practicing. Oh, I was working with my trainer. I'm like, yeah. All right. You know, so a couple of things for me that I learned, you know, because you always want to learn as well as a coach, because, you know, none of us have all the answers, right? I mean, there was some frustrating times for me. I'm like, what the heck did I get myself into? That we were better when we were hungry, we were fighting for something. And I think, to your point, you know, some of those younger guys were like, well, you know, we won it last year. I was like, yeah, that's last year. That's last year's team. And although some of you guys were on that team, every team has a different dynamic. Every team is completely different. And I try to, those types of things, I'm brutally honest with my team always. But those types of things where I feel like they might miss the mark, are those are the things that I'm really going to drill down with them. You know, and I tell them, I remind them weekly, look around, man. This is your 2025 team. It's not 24. This isn't 26. This is 25. You know, what are we doing right now to move the needle forward? And it took a while. Like, off season was really a struggle. You know, we had some guys get stronger, some guys get faster. We were running really, really well. We had a lot of guys leave and transfer, go to other places. You know, we lost Trey Gamble to Muir. That was big. We lost, you know, our running back. You know, we lost the linebacker. We lost the lineman. And we ended up losing 1, 2, 3 quarterbacks. Two of the three are starting. You know, one starting at San Jacinto. One moved to Florida, is playing at IMG. And of course, Gamble's at starting at Muir, and they're having a good year. He's killing it. And I'm still waiting for the coach from Muir to text me and email me and say thanks, because he for sure got a D1 dual threat lefty that is playing good football right now that was raised here at Mesa. Beside that, and I think this is where your culture and your foundational principles of your program are super, super important. It doesn't matter who's playing, right? We have something called the standard, right? And you hear it all the time, the standard is the standard. Well, we define the standard with three things. One is relentless effort. And it doesn't matter what you do, whether you're at practice, whether you're in the weight room, whether you're in the classroom, you want to be the best. You want to give the best effort that you have, because at some point, effort can kind of close the gap on some things. You know, I may not be as fast. I may not be as strong. I may not be as big, but I can always give great effort, right? The second part of our standard is competitive excellence. Like, there's competing, and then there's competing to be great. And competitive excellence isn't about the guy across from you. You know, as I said, I talk to my team. You know, I don't talk at them. We sit, you know, when there's a team meeting, I usually sit down. I have a little chair. I sit down in front of them. So we're having dialogue, right? And competitive excellence means, how much better can I get today, right? It's not about the guy playing across from you. You know, we've got three schools within 3 miles of each other, and all of them are hard divisions. You got Merida Valley, whom you guys beat last year. And then you've got, you know, Vista Marietta, which is a perennial, you know, power. They do a great job. And you got Mesa, right? And it's like, oh, I hate those schools. Like, well, why? You know, and this one really threw them for a loop, and their 15 to 18 year old brain just like, why are you mad at them? Well, coach, because they play at those schools. I'm like, okay, well, how about this? Let's look at it the opposite way. How about you don't get mad at them? How about you appreciate them? Because they're giving you an opportunity to be your best that day, right? Because yeah, it's you. It's you versus it. You. It's you versus you. It's not about anything they do. It's about what we do. So we talk about competitive excellence. And the last one, and probably the most important one, is I'm questioning character. Like, I have a pet peeve. I hate when teachers email me about my players. I can't stand that. Because they don't email me when they do something great, right? They don't email me when they do something good. They don't email me when they do well on a test or they're being a good citizen or they show care for their peers. They email me, oh, well, so-and-so had snacks today. Oh, or so-and-so was horse playing around. And I'm like, well, okay, well, I get that, but that's in your classroom. That's kind of classroom management. So my players know if I get an email from your teacher, we're not a punitive program, but that means you made a choice to do what you knew was not going to be well received by me. So we proceed accordingly. It's all about choices. I'm not coach is going to run me or coach is going to make me do up downs or burpees or anything like that. No, you have carte blanche, dude. Like you're a young man. I'm going to treat you that way. You have full autonomy to make whatever decision you want to make. But understand with each of those decisions, you know, come outcomes. A lot of people say, well, choices come with consequences. Well, no, not all of them, right? Choices come with outcomes. And some of those outcomes are favorable. And some of them you have to deal with coach back, right? So unquestioned character. So those three things, when you talk about, you know, what's really driving us and what's kept us moving forward is the consistency of the standard. Relentless effort, competitive excellence, and unquestioned character. And those three things it's a broad three categories, right? You know, you can lump everything. You can, you know, unquestioned character in your relationships, you know, with your mom and your dad or your siblings or, you know, your significant other, if you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend, because I have girls on our team. You know, I've coached 5 girls in my 4 years here. And one of them was an all-league kicker. So the idea is to continue to pour into them. And, you know, I always laugh when we have our coaches and be like, hey, it's kind of like Novocaine, fellas. Sometimes it takes a minute to work, but it's always going to work. So the consistency of staying in that message, you know, continuing to pour into them over and over and over again, I think is what kind of helped us turn the corner. And I think right now, as we're going into our second league game, we're in a pretty good spot.
I mean, I would say you guys are in a pretty good spot. I have to agree with you there. I mean, you went undefeated in the league last year. I mean, you won it. And, you know, you're sitting at 500 right now. So it's a good opportunity for you guys to, you know, really start getting in the win column. You know, I got to say, unbelievable what you've been able to do with this program over just a short period of time, you know, turning it around completely, delivering a championship to this school that, I mean, you know, it means a lot to those kids, but it also means a lot to those players who followed or who they're following in the footsteps of, who played there before, who weren't able to accomplish that. You know, I know that right. Personally, playing at Newberry Park, like you mentioned, yeah. We beat Murrieta Valley. That meant a lot to see that happen. You know, it'd been 30 years. Yep.
At Murrieta Valley. After being down 14-0. It's amazing.
It was one of, you know, the more exciting high school games I've watched. Obviously I had personal ties to it, but also it was a phenomenal game and sure. You know, they had a great year and so did we. And, you know, you got to appreciate good football like that. And, you know, that's what you're bringing to Murrieta Mesa's. You're bringing them these great moments, like those championship games.
I mean,
yours was close too. It was 17-7.
I'd love to take all the credit, but it's not, you know, leadership is super important, but so is fellowship. I've got a phenomenal group of men as coaches. I've got willing young people, you know, to quote Mike Tomlin, it's not about what you're capable of, it's about what you're willing to do. And these guys have been willing to get behind the vision, and they've worked relentlessly, tirelessly to get us to where we are. And I think, you know, it's kind of hard for me. I'm not a big accolade guy, like, you know, okay, coach of the year and all this stuff. And I'm like, I feel bad about it because football is a game where it takes 11 people to do one job, right? To make one play work. It takes 11 people, but it only takes one guy to mess it up. There's no other sport like that. There's no other sport like that. So while it's great to kind of be the head coach and all that other stuff, but like the work has been shared, the workload's been shared equally, you know, between players and coaches. And that's the family, right? Everybody has a job. Everybody has a responsibility. Everybody knows specifically what that is. And everybody's doing their best, right, in upholding the standard to execute those jobs to the best of their abilities. It wasn't as hard as people think because we had a group of seniors my first year who were tired of being the doormat. They were tired of being embarrassed. You know, they wouldn't wear their Merida Mesa football shirts because people would laugh at them in public. You know, people would literally tell them they sucked, you know, and those guys who graduated last year who were freshmen, who were 0-10, who only scored 3 touchdowns their whole freshman year, graduated as 10-win CAF champions and number 3 in Division 6, Division 3, I guess, in the state. So that was them. You know, I only know one way to coach, right? Like, you know, I'm an old guy. You know, I was raised by old guys in this game, going from Lou Holtz to Buddy Ryan to, you know, Marty Schottenheimer. So I'm not as rigid as they are, but I echo a lot of the sentiment that they had. And it's truly about having that willing piece. I think Mike Tomlin just captured that perfectly. It's not about what you're capable of. It's about what you're willing to do. And we just had a bunch of willing people and it kind of came together. And, you know, we're going to ride it until we can't ride it anymore. Just keep being consistent, keep upholding our standard. And, you know, we just live in the moment. You know, one practice, one day, one drive, one first down at a time.
And that's the only way to do it. Day by day, play by play. You just take it one shot at a time. And, you know, I want to say congratulations on that championship and the season you're having right now. And I really hope that, you know, I'm talking about you guys a couple weeks from now in the playoffs. And you never know. Maybe you guys will meet Newberry Parks in one of those rounds out there. But
no chance. No chance. Not unless Newberry Park falls down 4 divisions, dude. Like, we want no part. No
part. we'll see, Coach. But I wanted to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to come on this show. Best of luck.
It's early, man. The freshman game just started. I try my best to be a part of what they do. You know, some head coaches don't go to lower level games. You know, I want them to see me. I want them to know that they're important. My lower level games are at home, so we'll go back to back. JV at 4:15. Freshman at 4:15, JV at 6:15. So I'll go into one of the little press boxes and I'll sit up there and I'll watch. And, you know, the kids are on the sideline. They turn and they look and see if I'm in my normal spot. So we're hopeful and we're working towards it. But as you said, you know, day by day, play by play, you know, that's what it's all about, man. So best of luck to Newberry Park. Please send my best to Coach. And into QB1, I'm looking forward to seeing him at the All-CIF banquet again.
Look forward to seeing you there too. You know, best of luck to you throughout the rest of the season and playoffs. You know, just keep doing what you're doing out there. It's amazing to follow and watch what you've done at Murrieta Mesa. I hopefully will talk to you again in the future.
Sounds good. I appreciate it.
Appreciate you, Coach. Thank you so much.
You bet.
That's a wrap for this week's look at Riverside County Prep Sports, where from the desert to the mountains and from the pass to the valleys, our student athletes bring their best every game, every day. Join us next week as we shine the spotlight on more hometown heroes from across all 23 school districts, right here where the pride of Riverside County plays on. Thanks for joining us on Varsity Vibes on the United America Network.
Varsity Vibes with Luke Lamont is presented by the United America Network. Based in Riverside County, California, UAN is your home team for respecting the American way and countering the spread of misinformation. This is what democracy sounds and looks like.